Welcome to another episode of Breakaway from the Rat Race. And today I have the pleasure of speaking with Zach LeMaster. Zach LeMaster is the founder and CEO of Rent to Retirement, the largest turnkey real estate provider in the world. He is a seasoned real estate investor who has accumulated a large portfolio of real estate and across multiple markets, including single family, multifamily, commercial, new construction. And Zach really started when he was a licensed optometrist. He's currently practicing on a volunteer basis. But he really started in real estate when he was an optometrist, and he was also a captain in the U.S. Air Force. These investments eventually allowed him to retire early from his career in medicine to be a professional investor, and by strategically investing in markets that maximize cash flow, appreciation, and equity. I mean, and as you know, this is what I'm all about, cash flow, financial freedom. So Zach, welcome to the show.
Eric, thanks so much for having me. Super excited to be here.
Yeah, my pleasure. So let's talk about your particular rent to retirement, kind of like your turnkey real estate provider. So what is your business model, and how do you help investors basically build their passive income portfolio?
Absolutely. And probably this would be a good dovetail from just my personal story, to dive in more specifically on that. As you mentioned, and thank you for the very nice intro, we were able to retire from our career. When I say we, my wife and I, she's also an optometrist. We were able to retire from our career paths early in life. And still, not because we didn't enjoy that, but just simply because we wanted to choose a path where we had more control over our finances. Yep. And now we're able to practice on a volunteer basis and still do that as a passion. But we were essentially able to do that over many years of just buying rental real estate. And the catalyst to really expedite that goal was when we started to be strategic about investing in the locations, not just where we were located, but where we saw the best opportunity. And so over time, we're able to build a portfolio by essentially building teams and systems in place in the areas that we found to be viable investment markets. And then we had a lot of friends and family and colleagues that were like, hey, we see what you're doing in real estate. We want to do the same thing. We don't have the time, the energy, the knowledge. And they wanted to, so that was a birthplace of Rent to Retirement, where we assist people in mapping out their investment goals and identifying properties in these markets with the teams that we've thoroughly vetted and partnered with to acquire their passive income portfolios. We mainly focus on single family in the Midwest and Southeast. We also have small and large multifamily. We've done some commercial and a lot of new build and development projects. I think we closed over 1,000 doors just last year. So across 11 different markets. So fast forward to where we are today.
Yeah, sounds good. And so I think this is the first real issue that a lot of people have is the lack of time to go and do this investing. And this is why I think like turnkey, and I think you're on the same page on this, is that the turnkey rental investment is ideal for someone who doesn't have time to go and research the market, figuring out the team that's going to be on the ground and what to buy and figuring all that out. I mean, the turnkey business, the turnkey rental providers, they basically accelerating the build of your passive income portfolio up to a point where you're able to be financially free. And then if you want to do it on your own after that, I mean, you can do that, but at least buy your time back.
Yeah, I think, if you look at, and we've had the privilege of networking with and speaking with a lot of really successful investors. And really they have one common theme or one common path in place to get to the point that they are. And that's the simple fact that they just kept buying real estate. They are strategic about what investments they purchased, but they consistently bought real estate over time. And so when we work with clients and the way that we approach our own business, Eric, it's a lot of, what are your strengths and weaknesses? What level do you want to participate in building your own portfolio? Most people, to your point, they're busy professionals. They are passionate about real estate. They understand the benefits of real estate, but they're not going to go out and try to rehab houses. I mean, that's trading one job for another, right? But really to build wealth, generational wealth over time, you just got to buy real estate and continue to do that. And if you have a strategy and a team to work with, going the turnkey route, I think that's just going to set you up for success.
Yeah. And the other thing too is around markets. So what markets are you in? And why did you sell? How did you select these markets?
Same thing. These are just markets that we've personally been invested in and had success with. And now we have a very strict criteria of what markets we want to determine. We want to be in areas that are have landlord-friendly legislation, low taxes, future population and economic growth, have a diversity of industries, not just relying on, say, like oil or gas. We want to see areas where the rent to price ratios, you can still cash flow. All these things are taken into consideration because we know those are the areas you want to be in for sustainability long term. And we also like markets where you can be in the path of progress, you know, where there's high rental demand and people moving to the area. So our most active market is Florida. We're active, and a lot of that is new construction, but we work a lot in the Southeast, in Alabama and in the Carolinas, in Texas as well, as long as we don't have property taxes that are too high. And then the Midwest is kind of your just your bread and butter, you know, B-class housing that's always going to have demand. So Ohio, Indiana, Missouri, Kansas City, Missouri is one of our top markets. So those are the areas we focus on.
So what do you tell a California investor who has like a condo that he's renting with negative cash flow, of course? So what do you tell these investors and convince them that, hey, you know what, you could do much better if you were to invest in the Midwest, for example, for cash flow? What are some of the objections you get, and how do you convince them to move to a different market?
I mean, it really depends on their goals. I don't try to convince them of anything that would be counterproductive, you know, to what they're trying to achieve. But I think the reality is like, hey, California's been a great appreciation market for many years, you know, but it's really not bringing them any closer to their cash flow goals. Like at some point, it's great you've ridden that appreciation ride. Maybe it makes sense to cash that in and actually put it into, you can buy an entire portfolio in the Midwest for what that condo is costing you. And you can create, you know, thousands of dollars likely in passive income. And I also remind people that while they are invested in California and there's been high appreciation, like there are also markets where you can have your cake and eat it too. You can get positive cash flow and you can still have strong appreciation. Florida is a perfect example of that. And so it's just walking through the numbers with them. And then I think they see the light.
Yeah. But even like the markets where one of the markets where we invest in around the Cleveland area, I mean, we saw appreciation of 10-15% for over the last couple of years. Like, is this sustainable? Is it going to be like that in 2 years? Probably not. But this is what we've seen in the last couple of years, and even during the pandemic. So it was great appreciation in these markets, and they were cash flowing at the same time. So that worked out great.
And people don't know that about the Midwest, right? I mean, that's part of the thing, is just being educated. Yeah. The person that has that California condo, it's likely because they live in California. And just the simple fact of investing out of state is a little daunting. But when you're working with a team, you know, like you or I have established, it just sets you up for such a higher propensity for success. And it allows you to take those first steps of investing out of state.
Yeah. So tell us about your rent to retirement business model. How do you help? So what's the first step really that as an investor, like I contact you, and how does that work? How does your process work? How do you work with, how do you find the properties? How do you connect all the dots for the real estate investor?
Sure. Yeah. So our goal is to assist people in accomplishing their financial goals through real estate investing, encompassing all the important aspects that you need to, because I truly believe that when you are buying real estate, you're building a business, and you need to approach it like a business. So there's certain things that are important as far as like LLC structuring, taxes, accounting, financing, you know, just insurance. Like you need to look at, especially when you're diversifying across multiple markets, you need to be approaching it like a business from the beginning. And so that's really what we help people do. But ultimately, the first step is scheduling a consultation, reviewing their investment goals and criteria, providing some resources and education about some different markets and things like this, and then helping them through the process. Our investors, on average, are buying, I think last year we ran the statistic of 12 properties per person, and they have the goal that's on average. We have some people over 50 doors in their portfolio, but the goal for everyone is to achieve some level of financial independence through real estate investing and do that strategically. Yeah. We identify the teams in these markets based on a very strict criteria. We do some of our own in-house rehabs and sales too, but the majority of our business is looking at markets we like and then building those teams in those areas or partnering with those teams that we know are going to offer good product on property management, on the rehab or the new construction. We accept less than 3% of people we connect with in terms of like bringing them to our marketplace, because we have certain checks and balances and standards that they have to adhere to, because we want to do whatever we can to set our clients up for success.
Mm-hmm. So you're working with turnkey providers, and then you're connecting the turnkey providers to the real estate investor, or these are how does the connection work with the actual market and the actual person on the ground?
The first thing we do is identify the market. That is always the place to start, right? If we see opportunity in an area, and often we personally invested in this area for quite some time. And once we do that, we build a local team. If there's someone that's already operating in that area that's rehabbing houses or building, because about half of what we do is new construction at this point. So these are either builders or rehabbers. And if there's not someone that we can connect with that we have confidence in, then we may build our own team from the ground up in that area. Okay. And then connecting with property managers, which, as you well know, is the biggest crux to making this successful long term. And then basically following their process. And then once we are confident in that local team, and then they are able to, you know, bring their properties to our marketplace for our investors to see.
Okay. So you look at the market overall and you say, okay, well, you know, Cleveland or St. Louis, this is a great market. I want to see who's there, who's an active participant, who does turnkey in that area, who builds new houses. And, you know, try to connect with them and see if there's some kind of synergy that you could do. And if not, or if you can't find someone, it's still a great market. You want to take advantage of that. So you're going to build a team. You're going to find a property management company, and you're going to build a team at that point that's going to work with rent to retirement very closely. Is that right?
Yeah, that's correct. And usually we're personally investing and partnering with people for a good 1 to 2 years. Sometimes if we want to bring a market to the community faster because there's opportunity, we will. But the point is not only do we vet the people we work with, but we also want to have an established track record with them. You know, because that's when you truly know how people are operating, is when you've done business with them for some time.
Mm-hmm. Are these properties owned then by rent to retirement, or are you kind of like a broker, or is it kind of, it depends on the market?
So we do some in-house, right? Some of the houses that we build are owned and built by our company in rehab, but the vast majority in the markets are going to be direct from sellers, and we're brokering them with the expectation that they are meeting our standards.
Yeah, right? Of course. Yeah, because in the end, it's going to be rent to retirement. His name is going to be on the line here, where you just like, you introduced me to this guy, and it's a horrible
thing, reputation, right? Is everything in this game. And I've worked very hard over the past decade to build the reputation that we have. And the most important thing is, I think you really know a business is truly tested not when things are good, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's when there's issues and how that is resolved. And I will say that, you know, and this is real estate. If you own enough properties for a long enough period of time, you will have tenant issues, you will have maintenance issues, like things happen. And so it's really important to us that we stay engaged and build those long-term relationships with people when you do encounter those issues, that we're able to help you navigate them. You know, and I think that's truly why people continue to purchase with us, is because they know that we'll be there to hold their hand through the thick and thin.
Mm-hmm. People, you mentioned earlier too, like, people have to realize that what they're doing when they go and start investing in real estate, they're building a business, right? And then, so they have to put the right structure in place, they have to put the right process in place, and then also not take responsibility, but it's a little bit of a different mentality than working full-time. So how do you kind of enlighten them or guide them through that process, through that mind shift from a full-time employee to a business owner?
I would say that most people that are interested in investing in real estate have some sort of entrepreneurial spirit. And that's what brought them here in the first place. Even if they are not, I mean, they're full-time employee and employed, you know, W-2, or they have their own side businesses. I think they kind of have that, a little bit of that passion and mindset, which is great, because we share that in common with them. But it is important to know that while it is a passive investment, like, you still need to manage your manager. And you can't just buy it and forget. This is not a stock, right? This is not a REIT. You are physically owning property. This does take time. Now, working with the turnkey route, as you know, Eric, can limit the time that you're involved. It's most certainly not a full-time 80-hour work week like rehabbing houses is. I mean, you know all about that. But I mean, the reality is you do need to have certain procedures in place. You need to have a business plan. And so we just work with people through that to spend some time at least being aware of it and then taking necessary steps. Mm-hmm. And then evaluate. And that's the other thing is many people come in and think they're going to buy a house and just forget about it 30 years, pay off the mortgage. Nobody does that though, because the reality is you need to be constantly evaluating your portfolio. One of the best ways to scale over time is let your properties do what they do and build equity and then 1031 and trade up and trade up. And that's how people, and that's how we've built a large portfolio to this day. So.
Yeah. So a lot of people are concerned about the economy, concerned about the market. Is the market going to crash? So what's your position on, not position, your opinion or your, how do you see the market evolving from where we are today?
We're on a downward spiral and it's all going to crash and burn and run far away.
So we should.
Yeah. I mean, I think my opinion is always be buying. Yes, you need to change your criteria to some degree. And this goes back to my earlier point that people are successful not sitting on the sidelines. Like these successful, savvy investors, they are preparing and currently actively investing, right? Like we want to personally make 2023 our largest acquisition year on our own holdings, and more so than we have over the previous 10 years. And we buy a lot every single year. Yeah. But I think, the market is softening. This is a good thing because the past 3 or 4 years has been an outrageous seller's market. It has been challenging to come in and buy properties at a reasonable price and have them cash flow. Now things are more stabilized. So this is a good thing. Higher interest rates. It is what it is. It's just a number. Also necessary thing. I would encourage people to not sit on the sidelines and still take action because yes, even though your cash flow might be a little bit less than it was at a historically low interest rate, which we're likely never to see again. Mm-hmm. Like this is just reality. Like real estate is still sound investment when you have fundamentals and principles you're investing for. I think the market is softening, but there's still areas that we're still seeing strong appreciation, cash flow. I mean, when you're investing in areas that have rental demand, that's all you need to do because regardless of short-term fluctuations, all real estate prices go up. So I'm very bullish. And we're still personally buying a lot. And I think more people need to share that mindset if they truly want to be a long-term investor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think part of it is the long-term mind shift, right? I mean, you kind of think long-term. You're not thinking, the next 2 years, what the value of the property is going to be. You shouldn't really care about that. You should care about 20, 30 years down the road, what's going to happen? The value of the property obviously is going to be higher, but what's the strategy at that point for financial freedom, for your legacy and all that kind of stuff? That's way more important to be positioned for the future, for long-term. And
100%.
Yeah, when you look at it this way, I mean, you kind of look at the property that we have today and it's just like, yeah, this is a great deal. It's going to be worth more later. The cash flow is going to increase over time. And then if the interest rate goes down to back to 3%, then just refinance.
And so many people miss that. Exactly. I mean, a lot of people, when you're looking at a pro forma, and sometimes newer investors, I think, overlook this fact. When they're looking at a pro forma, that's like year one projected performance, mm-hmm. right? And so they really should be conscious. And in my opinion, they should be mapping out. And actually, this is a good routine or practice to go through to really conceptualize the numbers, like actually go through writing out on it and make sure you understand the calculations of, oh, I paid down the loan by $2,500 this year. What is the return on investment with that when I put $25,000 in to buy it, right? Mm-hmm. Is that a 10% return on investment just by debt reduction? Also appreciation. Now, we all want to be conservative in running our numbers, but go through the practice of, okay, what does a 3 or 5% appreciation look like year after year? But the rental increase aspect is something that most people miss because rents, do go up, especially over when we're in inflationary environments like this. Yes, that rises cost of living. Rents do go up time after time. So even if you had a break-even cash flow property today, it being in a good area where you have rental increases, that's a bottom line. That's a net increase year after year. right? Because your mortgage isn't going up. So that's just understanding the numbers, I think, is important.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the tendency, obviously, when at times of uncertainty, you try to hold cash. And but when you have high inflation, holding cash is, yes, it is a certainty. Like you don't have, you take, but yeah, it's a certainty, but the certainty is that you're going to be losing purchasing power because of inflation.
Yeah.
Right? It
feels it's significant amounts. Yeah.
Yeah. But you're securely losing money. And well, I often go through an exercise with some of the investors where I say, well, if you were to put this, you know, $25,000 in under your pillow or your sock drawer for 5 years, you would actually lose purchasing power, you know, at that rate. And then, but if you were to put this money into a rental property, 5 years from now, you would actually increase your purchasing power, even though with a very small appreciation, with, you know, minimal rent increase and all that kind of stuff, and assuming like 7.5% in interest for your mortgage. So
I mean, yeah, and that's a key point, is actually looking at that scenario using debt, because you're paying down. It's now is the strategic time to take on debt. We're talking about high interest rates. Well, yes, that affects the cash flow, but it's extremely important to take on leverage right now responsibly. But you know, as the dollar devalues over time, you're paying the bank back with less money in the future.
That's right.
And you're still getting all these other benefits. So, I mean, that's why, I mean, debt is a tool that you have to understand. And I think that is super essential. But yeah, holding cash, I mean, it's only like, okay, well, how long do you hold it? You gotta hold it to be able to use it when there's opportunity, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, no, this is very, I mean, yeah, I'm not saying like put everything necessarily in real estate, but you know, you have to have some kind of cushion for some kind of liquidity. But yeah, the majority should definitely be in real estate rental, even though, you know, the cash flow is a little bit squeezed right now. Over time, that cash flow is going to increase, as we discussed, and then you're going to increase your purchasing power, and leverage is key. I mean, and again, this is so weird, because you're looking at the mortgage rate and you say, well, you know, the interest rate is higher than it was before. And then they're looking at, okay, well, 7%, but then my cash on cash return is, or the cap rate is like 8%. So I'm really not making a big difference. But then you have to think about, well, yeah, but you can also invest in more properties. So the appreciation is going to be multiplied. The cash flow is going to be multiplied. And then you, as you mentioned too, like, you know, you're getting today's dollar, but you're paying it in tomorrow's dollar. That's going to have less value. So, you know, so it just makes a lot of sense. But it's so, all these things are so, there's a lot of emotion attached to that. And it's kind of counterintuitive that, yeah, you need to get a loan, even at a higher interest rate, to really take advantage of these things and really maximize your purchasing power over time and protect your wealth, really.
And I think in wealth creation and preservation is yes, what it's all about, and creating that legacy and generational wealth. And you do that over a long time of investing. It doesn't happen overnight. Yeah. But I think in the turnkey space, you and I encounter a lot of probably newer investors, which are still trying to learn these ideas and how to run the calculations and how to think about money, how to think about debt, how to think about real estate. And so we get a lot of these objections. You know, when you're looking at a savvy investor, someone who's experienced, like, they get it, right? They're being active right now. And so you can just kind of see what those people are doing, and they get these discussions. And so we see some of our more experienced investors coming back now to like buy a lot when they've been radio silent over the past couple of years. Mm-hmm. But some of those newer investors, it just takes time. And so that's important. I love what you guys do with all the education and time that you spend with your investors to make sure that they fully understand this, because that's key. You got to understand it first.
Yeah, exactly. And I think, and understanding the market, there's a lot of uncertainty out there. And this is why I want to talk more and more about kind of this market, and, you know, and not hoarding your cash. And it's important, how important it is to invest and all of that, and preparing for the future.
Yeah, I love it. So 2023 is going to be a lot of opportunity, I think. Don't sit on the sidelines is our common theme. Adjust your strategy. And hey, if you got to put more money down on a property, like Sometimes you do, right? Sometimes you just have to. Now, I try to come with as highest LTV as I can, and I'll take a break-even cash flow property. A lot of what we buy now is, and we're going through 1031s, we're trading up, but we buy a lot of commercial retail centers where they're you know, five caps. They are not attractive on cash flow, but we know that it's a safe place. And then we run accelerated depreciation, you know, and that's another thing that if you are an experienced investor or wanting to be a professional investor, like this is kind of, in my opinion, the last year, take a real big accelerated depreciation at 80%.
Yeah.
You know, there's those additional tax benefits, but it all compounds over time.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, last year was 100. You can still do 100% bonus depreciation last year, right? This year is
80. Yeah, last year is, yep. And then we get a 20% step down, you know, until it's gone. Yeah. So this year we're at 80%, which is still dramatic. I mean, our average, and you can do cost segs on single family individual properties. They don't have to be these large commercial deals.
That's right.
And our average cost seg study or accelerated depreciation that we're seeing is between 25 to 40%. Which we'll call it 30% to be conservative. So if you buy a $100,000 house, you could potentially have a tax write-off of $30,000 against all income sources if you're a real estate professional.
Yeah, that's another key point. So make sure you work with your accountant, your CPA, your tax advisor, because sometimes even though you have this big cash, this big depreciation that you can offset some of the income, you have to have the right category of income in order for it to actually offset the right income, passive income versus active income, and whether you are a real estate professional or not. And so that makes a big difference. So work with your CPA to identify that. The nice thing about this, about the cost seg, is that it's not too late. So if you have, if you're looking at your taxes right now and you're saying, oh my God, look, I need to offset some taxes and blah, blah, blah. I mean, this is something that you can look at now and you can do a cost seg on a single family rental. And then that would offset your income for last year, assuming that you bought the property last year. And so that can help. It's not too late to take advantage of this bonus depreciation and cost seg.
And for those that are unaware, just since we're kind of going down this path with the tax aspect, and this is my absolute favorite thing about real estate investing. Like, our goal every year is to buy enough real estate to pay zero taxes and offset our income, and then have all that money that we would have paid in taxes, which is a lot at highest tax bracket, and then reinvest, right? Yeah. You get this compounding effect. But in the cost segregation or accelerated depreciation is just taking certain things in the house based on the 2017 Tax Act. We were able to take certain things in the house and depreciate them all in year one. It's called bonus depreciation. So that's what we're talking about. Everyone has to take, you're required to take depreciation per the IRS code, which is a great, I mean, that's one of the best things about investing in real estate, right? Is you have your passive income. If you're earning $50,000 a year from income on your rentals, likely you're offsetting those taxes. So that could be the equivalent of like an $80,000 income source. But anyways, you're taking that depreciation on that house, not over 27 and a half years. You're taking a percentage of it in year one, where it's a direct offset. And there are certain, like, learn about this and talk to your CPA, as you mentioned. Sometimes if you're an active manager in short-term rentals, you don't have to necessarily qualify as a professional. Learn about this stuff if you don't know about it already, because this is a huge benefit, especially, you know, this year, properties that you bought previously. So
yeah. And you just need to do it on enough to offset your incomes to reduce your taxes. So, and it's all legal. It's all perfectly legal. The tax code is built for real estate investors, pretty much.
Yeah, it's, the IRS wants us. I mean, we're going out and we're providing housing, right? And a human necessity. This is the cool thing about real estate too, is you're providing a service to people, and you get all these tax benefits because you're improving, right? You're improving the economy. You're improving the, going through revitalization of some of these areas. I mean, it's all things that the IRS wants to be done, and we're the workforce to do it.
Yeah. Excellent. Well, Zach, we're about to wrap up here. So if people want to reach out to you, if they have questions, where can they reach out?
Our website is the best place to go. It's renttoretirement.com. That's renttoretirement.com. A lot of educational resources out there, properties available. You know, and again, we're happy to speak with anyone about their investment goals and criteria, and just, you know, add value. That's what we're all about.
Excellent. Well, Zach, thank you very much.
Eric, it's been a pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for listening to Break Away from the Rat Race with your host, Eric Martel. If you want to share your story and experience with our listeners, please message us on Facebook at Break Away from the Rat Race. Also, please subscribe to our YouTube channel and our podcast on iTunes.